Oh, David, is this the same tree?
Theoretically, we have spent a very long time gluing it back together.
Scary amount of super glue.
Seriously, nobody should light a match in here.
Every other week, we talk about a different episode of the series in chronological order. I'm one of your two hosts. My name is Paul McCambridge, and with me, as always, is my lovely wife, Carla. Carla, how are you?
Good. In the Christmas spirit.
Great.
Truly. Okay.
Of course, because we're talking about the 13th episode of Season 4, Merry Christmas, Johnny Rose.
Going a little out of order.
Yes, if you're listening to
for
this,
all you tried and true fans, then follow every other week.
Mm-hmm.
Your special bonus. This is your olive branch.
Right, from last episode.
Exactly.
You're getting three in a row. By that, I mean you're waiting a week between each of them, but you're getting three episodes over the course of 3 weeks, because we're going a little bit out of order here. Again, if you're listening to it in real time. If it's after 2021, there's no difference and you don't even know what we're talking about right now.
You're super confused.
But anyway, it is, you're getting this on Christmas Day. So we figured why not go the slightest bit out of order and talk about this episode. So the original air date of this episode was December 19th of 2018. Mm-hmm. A long break since episode 12, which was in April.
Right, yeah.
And I remember this happening. Like, I remember this happening
remember
in real time.
It was super exciting because there was just going to be a random Christmas episode that wasn't connected. Like, it's connected with the season, but it, you know, there was this little hiatus before it happened.
It was a special. Like, it was a, you know, and I think, what, the new seasons of these start in January or February, something like that. Yeah. So it was just a really nice little thing to sort of
get you pumped.
An extra episode to wrap up the year
that
was 2018 and just get you ready for the following season. So very cool.
Mm-hmm.
But technically, we're still in season 4.
Yes.
So there are some things to talk about with what's going on with the writing and directing.
Oh, I can't wait.
So this is directed by Andrew.
No.
Civadino.
Andrew, if you're listening, we apologize in advance.
Or if there's anyone who's listening who knows that that's wrong, we apologize. I mean, not in advance. I already said the name, so we apologize right now. Okay. I think that's right. I can't mess that one up. There are three eyes.
I think
so. There's
you could.
A chance I could.
You're giving yourself a little too much credit.
No, you're right. Yes. Listen, regular listeners know not to expect much from me. This is his first directed episode of Schitt's Creek. He'll direct one more episode in season 5, and he'll do 7 in the final season of the series.
He becomes very busy.
Yeah. And
as time goes on.
And it's interesting because I looked him up, and again, like, my research doesn't extend beyond IMDb, which, you know, isn't great, but it's what it is. He only directed a few short films before getting this gig for Schitt's Creek. He did direct a short called Sleeping Giant that was then adapted into a feature film. He is currently working on a series called Cut Block about a logging family. So we'll see when that comes out.
Yeah.
But what's interesting about this is there is a co-director for this episode.
Okay.
Dan Levy.
Oh.
It is his first directing credit of this series, and he only directs 3 more times, co-directing 2 more times with this same guy.
Oh, they're BFFs.
They must be BFFs.
Yeah.
No, I found that pretty interesting. And Dan Levy's name as a director won't pop up again till the final season of the series. This episode is written also by Dan Levy.
Okay.
And one last thing that I noticed as we started to watch this, it's the slightest bit longer than any episode we've encountered. Episodes are normally between 21 and I'm going to say 23 minutes. This is almost 25. A whopping 26 minutes long.
Yeah.
But still, it's significant that it's a little bit longer. It really does to the, you know, point to the idea that this is a special,
they
a very special
to.
Episode.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, they wanted to spread a little bit more Christmas cheer.
Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the first episode where we get a flashback of what their lives were before.
I think
correct.
So.
Correct? Like,
it
has to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, obviously we saw a small glimpse into it in episode one, where they kind of were basically needing to collect and run.
No.
You know,
right,
so
but that was in real time.
Right,
that wasn't...
Right. Yeah. So this is definitely a the first flashback I can think
of,
I believe. But, you know, again, we never claim to be perfect or right.
All right. There's two of us doing this. There's two of us talking about it. Yeah. And I feel like if there was a flashback, at least one of us would have remembered that.
Yeah.
So, and that's how we start this episode. That's how we open this, is with a flashback.
Which kind of feels a little bit asbestos-festy.
Oh.
It does. Moira and David. It opens on them singing.
Right, of course.
Belting out Silent Night.
And so what we get, though, I found this interesting because at the end of Asbestos Fest, we get the start of their show. And I guess now we get the end of the show.
Yeah, or at least the end of David's portion of the show.
Well,
because
yeah.
she basically kicks him out and then is ready to do her solo act.
Well, that's what I wondered. I was like, is this, because they were singing just like the Christmas medley.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, is that all it is? And it just ends with Silent Night?
I don't know.
Or is the medley like the first part of a whole skit or routine that they end up doing?
I don't know.
Okay.
But it's really just the warm-up act for Aretha.
No, right, exactly.
Because they mentioned that she would be out in a moment. And Paul Schaefer, a little guest star.
Paul
Schaefer. Playing the piano for them.
Yeah, and I think our first character playing themselves in this. I mean, they refer to celebrities continuously.
All the time. Yes.
But it's not like, you know... I don't know if they've ever talked about Brad Pitt, but it's not like he's showing up at Schitt's Creek.
Well, right.
Like,
but
in
their
in
previous
visit.
Life,
right.
that would have been very common for them to have, I'm sure, celebrities at their holiday gatherings or parties.
So,
yeah.
And I did, we're not going to really talk about Paul Schaefer as though he's a character.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think people probably know who Paul Schaefer is. Paul Schaefer, David Letterman tandem for, I don't know, 100 years? On TV. But apparently, he has known Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy since 1972, because he's Canadian as well.
Okay.
And I read that they worked on Godspell together, and he was like the musical director, and they were in it. So
yeah. No, it makes sense. I'm sure they have so many connections. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but such a... I don't want to say such a random, but just a very random, like, I get it. He's playing the piano and that's what he does. But it's very funny how that's like the one celebrity that they were like, oh, come on. And you would be at our Christmas parties, perhaps annually and everything like that. Just super fun.
Yeah. But we also get a little glimpse.
Oh.
They're performing. They kind of scan through the guests that are at the party. And we would assume that we get a little glimpse of Alexis and Stavros is there. I know.
I was going to say, let
I
me handle.
I think I said it right. Stavros.
Yeah. I was going to say, let me handle all the Stavros things, but that's
the
fine.
Person
you
who normally can't pronounce real people's names
I
is
got,
going to handle
I
the character's
I got one
name.
I got Stavros. That's all I can do.
But
he
yeah.
looks like a and, Stavros.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they make a mention of him later, so you can definitely,
right.
like, they allude
I mean,
to
they
the
are,
that
he and Alexis are arm in arm.
Right.
But yeah, he has, like, long hair. He just,
yeah.
he looks like a Stavros.
Yeah,
he really
it
does.
It was good casting, right. definitely. Yep.
And are there other guests at this?
Oh,
or no?
Well, of course. I think we, yeah, I mean, the there's definitely other guests. Yeah. We see their friends from the anniversary episode. Bev and Don are there as well. I'm sure the incestuous Bloomfields are there.
No, we just can't pick
we
them out of the
lineup. We
just
don't know which ones they are, but right. I'm sure that they were invited.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we are soon able to understand that this is a dream because after Moira shoos David off, I'm going to say stage, you know, or out of the limelight.
Yes.
She wants to dedicate the next song to Johnny. Mm-hmm. And the crowd, all the party guests start chanting Johnny, Johnny. But then it is revealed that Moira's just letting him know that he's talking in his sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's Christmas Eve, to which Moira says, wake me when it's over.
Right. Very nice.
Yeah.
Then we get our opening title, and now we are into the episode. And this harkens back to prior episodes as well. We haven't seen Johnny have to wake his kids up in a long time.
Right, yes. But also, this whole episode, obviously because it's in December, there's snow, there's everything that we've never seen in Schitt's Creek, obviously. You know, but yeah, we see it's snowy outside, and it's kind of fun. You know, seeing that more wintry kind of Schitt's Creek scene.
All the exterior shots are really, really great. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand, you know, something like, you know, and we'll get there with Rose Apothecary, how it's just, you know, snow on the ground and stuff like that. And we don't see characters. But I thought at the end when they're walking back to the motel in the snow outside, I thought that was really,
really
nice.
The houses are like decorated and stuff. And
And it is, we find out, because we are at the end of season four, but Johnny alludes to the fact that this is their third Christmas at Schitt's Creek.
Yes, because they have not celebrated the past two.
Right, exactly. And again, I think this points to the fact that every now and then we get a good sense of how time is passing. Mm-hmm. And also we get a sense that there's so much more that I guess is happening with this family that we're not seeing. It's not it's not like every season goes over the course of an entire year there. But it's like, oh, this is what happened last Christmas and the Christmas before and blah, 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 all of that.
Yeah.
And this is their third one. So Johnny's idea is to have Christmas Eve party or Christmas party.
Right. Like they used to.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
To which everyone is not on board for.
No. Alexis does not think people want to carol in front of the wall of Moira's wigs.
Yeah, mom's wig wall. No caroling. Yeah. Yes.
I do like how I think it's David. Maybe it's David and Alexis, or it goes back and forth between them, that just doesn't think it'll be the same without the ice sculpture or the reindeer room. I would have loved to have seen what the reindeer room
is.
I
know.
I assume it's reindeer
fun to
chained to floors or something like that.
I don't know.
And you could go and maybe pet them.
Maybe.
So Johnny is insistent, even though nobody really wants to do this.
Oh, he is, because he's delegating tasks and everything to get this done.
Right, exactly. David's in charge of decorations. Alexis is in charge of the guest list.
Yep, and he and Moira are in charge of the tree.
They'll take care of the tree.
Yep.
Great, everybody. Go. Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, and this is when we start to hear Alexis is planning not to attend. Talking about this, though, gives a little bit of a spoiler.
Oh,
talking about her reason.
Oh,
no.
Right. And I don't think we have to talk about that because we'll assume most people are listening to this in real time.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, she and Ted are not going to be able to make it. Like, it's, I mean, that becomes a bigger thing later on. So we'll get there when we get there, the reasons why and everything that. But she kind of already kind of puts that out there. So now let's go to Rose Apothecary and let's go to this wonderful, beautiful exterior shot of snow outside of the store. And David, so David and Patrick are talking.
Yes.
And I mean, we kind of like come in the middle of their conversation with each other.
Where Patrick can tell that he must be telling Patrick about
what his dad's intentions are.
Because Patrick thinks it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I just, I do find it funny how Patrick's like, we could go get drinks anytime. How their big plans, their big Christmas mm-hmm. Eve plans were just going to get drinks. Mm-hmm. But he's into it. He's totally okay with
it. Yeah, and David, like, well, as David was saying, like, it was fun. It was lavish, big right. fun before. But, again, he's having a really hard time right. knowing that this cannot, you know, rival what they used to be able to do to celebrate.
Of course. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But this is all broken up because Stevie comes in.
And can I just say,
oh, yeah, sure.
how adorable Stevie looks in her cute little red winter hat. She looks so cute.
Yep.
I kind of like wintertime Stevie, even though she's normally in like flannels. I just thought she looked adorable.
I just love wintertime everything yeah. because as we've stated, we haven't really seen a moment of winter. So to just see these characters dressed mm-hmm. for the season or for the weather where we've never seen that yeah. before. The amount of sweaters that they're throwing around in this episode mm-hmm. is crazy. Like yeah. Ted's whole ensemble uh-huh. is great.
Yeah.
And you know that Ted's the type of person who is just all about Christmas.
Oh
and,
yeah.
You know. Yeah. But no, you're right. I think Stevie looks great. She's got a big giant heavy coat on.
Yeah, like
she's all bundled up.
Yeah. Yes. She looks so cute. Yeah.
And she is, well, I guess she's in charge of wine and food.
Well, like she was super confused, first of all, that they're even planning a Christmas party because right. she thought David was Jewish.
Well,
and
yes.
that's when he kind of informs her that it's a half-half sort yep. of situation. I like the way he, you know, kind of described it.
right.
But then, yeah, they started talking about alcohol and everything and bringing two cases of wine. And
yeah, because that's what I kind of forgot about this episode, because as Johnny's delegating responsibility, my thought was, food and drink is pretty important right. to any party, and that wasn't brought up once.
Yeah.
So I guess that's sort of Stevie's territory, yeah. even though Stevie's whole entire bit in this episode, just every time she delivers a line, it's about wine. Mm-hmm. I think it's so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, she's there to get two cases of wine, mm-hmm. even though Johnny asked her to get one.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and then they kind of have a huge conversation because they're talking about, like, decorations. And
right.
they have a lot of decorations available at the apothecary, but right. David does not want to use.
For customers.
Right. So David does not want to take any of their decorations to use for this event. Because I like how Stevie said, like, oh, is the ghost of Christmas past coming to visit
yes,
you? Because
exactly.
he's being such a Scrooge. And then Patrick pulled a little bit of an Alexis line because he said, ooh, burn, David.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You know, which was fun. That's totally an Alexis line.
I guess David really learned a lot from his time with at the Blouse Barn. Because there he was just getting everything, mm-hmm. charging everything to the store.
Right. Now that he's a business owner himself.
Now that it's his store.
Right.
He's probably like, well, maybe we shouldn't just yeah. use
well,
all the stuff from the
I'm
store.
Also thinking Patrick's influence. Patrick, I'm sure, is certainly more conservative about all the spending and the budgeting and
well,
everything
Well, no, of course,
else,
but Patrick's so. All in on that. I mean, Patrick isn't the one who
yeah,
objects
true.
To using,
yeah.
you know, decorations from the store.
Right.
And to my thought is, like, I understand it from his perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But how bad would it be to just take some of the stuff?
Right, and then bring
if
it back.
If you're decorating it, right,
yeah.
don't take the not the receipts, don't take the tags off this stuff.
Yeah, I guess.
You could probably take it back, and if a few things get broken,
yeah.
a few things get broken.
But they don't have to worry about that, because there are decorations at the motel.
Right.
They were Nana Buds.
You're right, yes.
I love how she calls her Nana Bud. Like,
uh-huh.
that's the cutest.
It is very cute, yes.
And I mean, her aunt was the motel owner, so, you know, this is...
Obviously. This we're getting a new
yeah.
character,
yeah.
a new past character introduced.
Yes.
Which I guess this woman was the original owner?
Yeah, I guess so. And
then
it got passed
down. Is this a third generation motel?
It might be.
Oh my
yeah.
God.
Or like her aunt owned it originally and just the decorations were passed down to her aunt.
That was her job, was decorations.
Maybe.
We do see
know.
She has a nice Christmas gourd. Okay. All right. So yeah. from this mess, and it really does end with basically they're not using those decorations. Mm-hmm. You know, Stevie's going to have to make do.
Right.
We go over to Ted's apartment, and boy, oh boy,
He just looks like a little Christmas elf.
Oh, my. She refers to him as a Christmas elf, yes. Of course. This is ridiculous. Like, his apron's really silly. And I know it's just played for laughs.
It's funny.
But yeah. I would assume that even though he has an apron, this one is over the top. Like, it's
it's like ruffly.
Yeah, it's not just the wreaths that are all over it. Yeah. It is that it's ruffly and frilly and stuff like that.
Yep.
So, also, he has to now make, I know this is at the very end of the scene, 144 cookies.
He's in a cookie. He's making cookies for a competition.
I don't.
He says in the beginning.
But what's the competition? Who can make the most cookies?
I don't know. I guess he has to make a lot.
Because when she tells him to double the recipe, he jumps up and says, I guess I have to make 72 more. Which, that just making 72 cookies is crazy. Also, these people are referred to as his vet friends.
Mm-hmm.
How many other vets? we met his vet rival.
He doesn't really have anyone else that works there. I was thinking like, it could be other like employees. There aren't any other employees at his little practice. It was just Alexis.
So these are probably just to be like old college friends of his. Maybe. They all went to vet school together and they're all.
Let's say that.
Okay.
Great. I like that idea.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but I like, and Alexis says, but the only competition, or what did she, makes reference to the only thing that she and her friends did was they had to steal medicine from their parents' medicine cabinets.
Yeah.
And then they took it to a boot factory in Krakow.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. No, you're looking at me as though you're very confused.
Yeah.
You told that story as clearly as she did.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, and as they're talking about his vet friends or his Christmas cookie competition friends,
right?
He kind of makes reference to the fact that they don't care for the idea of Alexis. She hasn't, they haven't officially met her, but they basically don't like her because of the broken engagements.
It makes total sense. Yeah. Everything about this makes sense. I don't know if I'm glad that he prepared her for this or if he just shouldn't have said anything. Because it really gets in her head about this. Like, she's very upset about this. Yeah. But also, like,
is it
polite to tell the person to hey, maybe watch what you say or maybe act especially nice? I don't know.
I don't know either. That's a pretty hard thing to, like, set somebody up for either way. Because if you go and you don't have any sort of heads up, they're going to give you the cold shoulder. They're not going to be overly friendly, which also will
They're going to be cause... way more critical of anything that she says.
Right,
that...
right. So, I mean, maybe it's good to say that to some, you know, just say like, hey, they're not sure about you. And I don't know. It's an awkward situation all around. How many people do that? Get back together with somebody who broke off an engagement twice?
Yeah.
You know, like,
which
in most situations, it probably doesn't happen.
No, which brings up the bigger question of, like, Ted's family. Like, I mean, we see Ted, and we know
we don't really get any taste of his family at this point. We do later.
Yeah,
but
it's just, it's one of those things where it's like, well, how many people that know Ted now, you know, think of Alexis as
we know the old ladies.
We know the old ladies do. Heather's probably not too fond of Alexis.
Well, no. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Twyla stuck with her.
Yeah.
She's about the only person that she probably kind of wronged.
But I also feel like Twyla, I don't want to say it took a little bit, but I don't know. There were hints of Twyla not being too crazy about her for a little while after that.
But anyway.
So she, okay, yeah.
They're going to give her a chance.
Sure, why not?
And and then she kind of shares the fact, well, you know, my dad planned this last minute Christmas party, but I really want to meet your cool, scary, judgy friends, so maybe we just should skip the party instead.
Yes.
So they kind of decide that I guess that's what they're going to do, but they're going to drop some cookies off.
They're going to make more gingerbread cookies.
Right, to the party. To Johnny and Moira, and then I guess go meet with the cool, scary, judgy friends.
I still can't get over the amount of cookies. I still, if it's a party with his friends and it's a cookie competition, you would assume everyone else is making cookies. So is everyone making 72 cookies?
I don't know. Maybe it's like a competition and exchange. So, you know, everybody's taking cookies with them when they go. And then you're picking the best one. Let's say it's that.
Okay.
And let's move on to
There's
Christmas
72
trees.
Judges. Okay. All right. No, that's fine. Yes. Let's go get a Christmas tree. And I have a question here. Is Ray selling Christmas trees out of Mutt's Barn? Is that what has become of Mutt's Barn? It looks like the same set. It looks like they just moved Mutt's couch out of the way and put a rotten Christmas tree in place of it.
Oh, a rotten Christmas tree. Wow.
You saw them.
Yeah, no, they were bad.
Right.
Yeah, not anything like their 22-foot Norwegian pines that they used to have.
I love how it's Ray. Mm-hmm. I love how it's Ray just selling Christmas trees. This is just another one of the many, I don't know,
swindling people out
hustles.
Of money.
Oh, yeah, right, yes, special price, yeah. Right. Most of the good trees are gone, so he's selling these at a special
price. Higher because of demand.
Right. By special price, I mean higher due to demand.
Right.
And half of the trees, did you see the trees in the background?
Mm-hmm.
Half of them are brown
and
basically dead.
Yeah.
I mean, we see the tree they get, which...
Right. Well, we can't really... It wouldn't have been wrapped when they picked it out, though, I wouldn't think.
Oh, I'm sure Ray's tying that up with twine so they can put it on top of their car.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, but it was $100.
Yeah, the trees are $100+,
which this year, that's kind of almost like a going price. Christmas trees have gone up in price considerably.
I don't know anything about Christmas trees.
A lot of people were. We've
had a fake Christmas tree for as long as we put up a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
We've never gotten a real one.
Nope.
I don't think I've had a real one since I was like in elementary or middle school, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, even my parents abandoned that after a while. So I would have no idea.
Yeah, no, from what I've heard, I think COVID has adjusted and affected pricing all over, and I think it impacted Christmas trees.
Oh,
too. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, much like...
It's surge pricing.
Yeah, I don't know. It's you can tell me a Christmas tree is $50, or you can tell me it's $400, and I'd be like, yeah, both of those sound about right. Like, I would really have no idea how much a tree is. Worth. Anyway, so Johnny is not, I mean, not that he's not in, no, sorry, Johnny's determined.
Oh, totally.
Moira is the one who's like, this is outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to spend this money, you know, which is, I guess, David's money. I guess they're still spending
David's money
for the money that Wendy gave him. I don't know.
Well, I mean... No, because he put that into the apothecary, so now I guess that he's getting an income from the motel.
Yeah, it's still David's money, though, I guess. Alexis's money?
I think it's just...
Town council?
No, I think they're... Alexis put her money into school. David put his money into the apothecary.
Okay.
And I think this is probably a small income that he's getting from the motel.
Right. No. The motel. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
it's
said
like
that.
I forgot that Johnny was doing
You weren't even listening
stuff.
To me.
Wow. I guess not. Sorry.
Right. It's his motel money.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right. And because Moira doesn't think this is a good idea, and, you know, the Christmas tree is an important part of a Christmas party
mm-hmm.
or any Christmas celebration.
Yes.
And Johnny really
They start to plays... reminisce about some Christmas celebrations they've had, like Puff Daddy's poolside white party. And,
right.
And the awkward tree decorating at Arnold and Maria's.
Right. And it really is Johnny. And I'm not saying this is a negative. He's really doing a... Do I ever ask you for anything?
Mm-hmm.
And think of all the things that I've done for you in the past. I'm just asking us to spend $100 on mm-hmm. a tiny tree.
Yeah.
And she finally says, okay,
yeah.
Let's do it. That's totally fine. So now let's go back to the motel. Let's all regroup after our day of taking care of everything.
Yes.
And... Stevie unveils the Christmas decoration.
Well,
oh, sorry, go ahead.
Before that happens, I kind of love that they're trying to, like, Johnny's trying to, like, get the tree all situated and everything, and he's asking Moira, is the tree straight? And she's not even looking and says yes. And then 2 seconds later, David and Stevie walk in, and David's like, the tree's not straight.
Right. The tree's crooked, yes.
Yeah, which I thought was just super funny, you know, as he's trying to organize everything. But, yes.
Do you find that funny? Because we can't even get our fake Christmas tree to stand straight.
Oh, yeah, no.
It's crooked every year.
Well, yeah, because it's... From it needs a we need a replacement.
86?
I don't know how old that tree is. Yeah. But yeah, no, trees sometimes aren't straight. But this one's, I guess, worse.
And it's really small. Like, it's a very Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
Oh, totally.
It's so Charlie Brown influenced, because it's about. Maybe it's generous to say it's chest high on Johnny. Like, it's a pretty tiny tree.
It's tiny.
And
definitely.
It's very thin. Now, we do know it's wrapped up.
Yeah.
So he has to cut to unveil it. But it's pretty thin and short.
Yeah. So they, but David and Stevie do come and they reveal the decorations.
Yep.
Which are like Christmas lights that don't have bulbs in them.
Yep.
Basically, the Christmas gourd.
Which is a pumpkin.
Which is like a pumpkin, right?
I feel like how Moira thought it was a Christmas gourd.
Uh-huh.
As if that's a thing.
Well, it's Moira.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. And Johnny then refers to the decorations as garbage decorations.
Right.
To which David said that were Stevie's grandmother's.
Right.
You know, so of course that's a little bit awkward, but...
There are also Mardi Gras beads.
Oh, I forgot about the Mardi Gras beads. Nana Bud worked really hard to get those.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, and it is revealed because, you know, Johnny's like, David, you have stuff at the store.
Right.
And it's revealed that they're saving money at the store.
Right. He could not bring inventory home because they need an espresso machine.
Right.
For the staff room.
For the
for the two of them, basically.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay,
we don't need to get into why they would need an espresso machine. They don't need an espresso machine. But you know that was, you know, David's justification, you know, to Patrick about this.
Right. And it wasn't like when he worked at the Blouse Barn that he could just charge it. Patrick
wouldn't
let him.
No.
So they have to work for it. They have to actually sell things to be able to afford it.
And we've seen how tough that is at Rose Apothecary.
There were people there.
Oh, there were at the beginning
of this?
Yeah,
there were people shopping. There was a couple in there shopping.
I didn't even notice. Okay.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, they had some customers.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I like how Alexis runs in at this point and goes, what's all the yelling about? Because Johnny really is starting to freak out about this now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the tree's not ideal and they spent a ton of money on it. They have no decorations now.
Right.
And he asks Alexis
my favorite is he says, we don't have decorations because your brother's a cheap ass.
Right, yes. Yeah, cheap ass, which he called Moira's sister.
Right.
Yeah, that must be his thing that he says.
Yeah.
I still find it awkward when he says it. It sounds so weird. It just doesn't flow or sound like something Johnny Rose would say.
Well, I think I remember noticing in this show there was a lot of swear words popping up early, and then I feel like we kind of had a little stretch where we didn't notice it as much, and then it comes back later where
it oftentimes
seems like the language had like kind of changes.
Yeah, we both noticed that.
I remember talking about that. Like,
at least
around
the first season, maybe into the second season, they were F-bombing at basically once an episode.
And then it really sort of died down a little bit, I guess,
right,
as they gotten more comfortable with their situation. Like, maybe this was really like a natural part of what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
But then it definitely, if I remember rightly, thinking like, whoa, what's going on? All of a sudden this has ramped up again at the end. But I remember noticing that when we watched originally.
Yeah, which I thought was really interesting about rewatching it, because I remember, I guess it's the final season or whatever, and since at that point we were watching it in real time, it had been so long since we saw season one or two. And then you're right, I remember both of us when season six came around, we were like, why are they cursing so much in this show? And then it was fun to rewatch it for this podcast and go, oh, they did that from the jump.
It started,
but I guess they do just sort of like
it
calmed
like
down in
off
the middle
a little
here.
Bit in the middle. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm wondering why that is.
I don't know.
Okay. So He asks Alexis how the guest list is going, because that's what she's been put in charge of. And she thought that he wanted her to basically be a bouncer at the door.
Yeah, like just, And he was like, she said, it's hard for me to do the guest list if you haven't given it to me.
Right.
Yeah, like she was just
like assuming, keeping out the riffraff.
I guess, yeah.
And I do like how his response is, it's Christmas Eve. I don't think a lot of people are walking around crashing parties.
Yeah.
But so they don't have anything he asked for. I mean, he was able to get a tree, so he's doing his part.
Yeah, but then when they cut it apart, like when they cut twine off, branches fall off onto the ground.
Yeah.
You know. But when Alexis comes, like Ted also has shown up with gingerbread cookies, and that's when I think they share, like, we're not going to be there.
Yeah, because you kind of figure Johnny's freaking out, but here comes Ted, the Christmas elf, here to make everything
Christmas
all right.
Cheer. Nope.
But of course, when he comes in, is basically saying, hey, Alexis, did you tell your parents that we're not going to be here?
Right. Yeah. And then Stevie pops in that she opened a bottle of red, and she hopes that's all okay. You know, everyone's okay, and that's okay with everyone.
I love it because I said it earlier. I think this is the second time Stevie said something during this scene, because the first time she kind of said, I'm just going to open wine if it's okay with everyone.
Yep.
And then, like you said, she opens red and she has to say that. But now we're going to try and save everything.
Well, this is the release of the tree. Yes. Yeah. Sorry, I jumped a little bit on that.
No, that's okay. The tree release, where he has to cut two pieces of twine and then the branches kind of fall down. Some fall off.
Right. It was very charming in a war-torn kind of way.
Right. Yes. I do appreciate their, like, weirdly fake applause beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, almost a drum roll for him to do this. The reactions are great. And someone online, when we said we were going to do this episode, someone online asked why Alexis's reaction to this tree is not a meme that we see. So I was really paying attention to her, like, scrunched up, disappointed face at this tree. But yeah, all the reactions are amazing.
Right. Well, and they try to offer help. Maybe they could rotate it. So Ted tries, and it actually looks worse and kind of burnt.
Charred
on the other side. Then they talk about cutting it up into garland instead.
It's really funny.
And Johnny, at this point,
he's had enough.
Loses it, basically.
We've really never seen Johnny lose it. We brought this up before.
He loses it on Roland.
No. Right. No. I mean, never on his own family, though. And never. And I mean, I'm saying never, but people could probably point out times that this happened. Never because of their situation. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the closest he ever got to this was when they were almost selling the town and the guy basically almost died.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is it. Like, he's hit his, it's crazy to say at the end of season four that he finally hit his rock bottom with Schitt's Creek, but he takes it out on everyone.
Right.
You know, that he did what he was supposed to do, basically. No one else cares. He says, why start making an effort now to everyone?
And he was like, this was just a stupid idea. It's too much for all of you.
Yeah, all of you. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it was really
sad.
And we
can understand it. Like, it's, you know, again, he's kept it together for four seasons, and he's finally had enough.
Yeah.
His third Christmas at Schitt's Creek was the end for him.
Yeah.
But it's okay, because he's going to go for a walk.
He's going to go for a walk.
Because it's meatloaf night at the cafe.
At the cafe. Yes. To which then, after he leaves.
It's so great.
Yeah.
When Stevie says that meatloaf night
was yesterday. After all that.
I love it. Again, give me any great Stevie lines, and she's doing the most with what she's given in this episode.
Yeah, she had some really cute moments in this.
So now let's take a trip back to the past
another
again.
Another flashback. Yeah, and we see Johnny. Everybody's left the party.
Right.
And he's kind of yelling, like, Alexis, David, like, wondering where they are and everything. And he comes upon Moira and asked if she had seen the kids and everything. And she's like, oh, that ship sailed. You know,
Alexis
and Stavros have left. Stavros.
Yeah.
I now have left.
They're already on his yacht.
In Capri. They're heading to Capri? Is that where she said? I forget now.
I don't know.
Yeah. David is screaming at Wolfgang, who I'm assuming is like their chef because
It's just so weird to be like, oh, and David's busy yelling at the help. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow. That does not paint him in a good light in this flashback.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, on Christmas.
Yeah, too. Exactly.
Like, oh, yeah, that was a little cringy. I was like, oh, man, David. Yep. But, you know, and she's like, we've given them their checks.
Yeah, because that's all Johnny wants. Else. He's like, oh, I thought we could all open gifts. Yeah. And she's like, well, I gave them their checks because, of course, that's their gifts.
Right, yeah.
When can we start to give our kids just checks and then have to wrap anything?
I don't know. I don't know that that would
No, you don't think that's acceptable? All right.
Yeah. You know, but he really kind of wanted to have like a nice, sentimental, Christmassy moment with his family, which, of course, we just saw is what he still was craving and what he still wanted was this nice sentimental Christmas moment with his family. Yeah. And, you know, Moira said, you know, she's already taken her Christmas pills.
Her Christmas pills. Yeah, so, I love it. Because he really is like, all right, well, I guess I'll settle for a Christmas moment with you.
Right.
And just the idea of, I already took my Christmas pills. And she says, bitter experience, tell me I have but 8 minutes to make it upstairs to bed.
Right. But yeah, so he's standing next to the 22-foot Norwegian pine. Yeah. And there's no one to celebrate with him.
Right, exactly. And now we...
Flash forward. Go to present day, I guess.
Where he is sitting at the cafe.
Yeah.
Just he and Twyla, basically. Mm-hmm. And someone named George, who's referenced for the first time.
Yeah, George is going to lock up.
Yeah.
He's the cook. Twyla doesn't cook.
No, I know. But I was like, I wasn't sure if George was the cook or like the dishwasher or the
I'm going to say he's the
bus
cook.
Boy. Okay. All right.
Yeah. I think he's the cook.
All right. Yep. Yeah, because it's very nice. Like, Twyla's just kind of there hanging out with him. Mm-hmm. They did make him meatloaf.
Yes.
Even though it...
Yeah, thank you for the meatloaf.
Was yesterday. And Twyla even tells him, like, it's always Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I guess eggnog? He must have eggnog.
I guess so, yeah. Well. Yeah.
And this is when Moira walks in and kind of relieves Twyla of... I guess, tending to Johnny.
Yeah. Well,
because Twyla's got places to go.
She has some place to be.
Right.
And, you know, she said, stay as long as you want. George will lock up. And dinner was on them tonight. Yeah. It was a really cute little scene.
Sounds to me like George and Wolfgang always had the worst Christmases. So it's really nice because Johnny and Moira kind of talk about how all those big parties weren't as great as they remember now that they're remembering them. You know? It never quite
the parties when they
worked
end,
out the
like,
way that he wanted
he
it
was,
to.
Yeah, he was always standing alone with the tree and thought, like, now that we're here.
Now
and
that we're all finally together for Christmas.
Like, why can't we come together?
Yeah. And it's really sweet because Moira apologizes for, like, not understanding why this was so important to
him. Yeah, because he said, he's like, I thought it was the perfect day for a Rose family Christmas party, you know, and thought that it would be, like, a nice moment of togetherness for them all.
Yeah. But she's basically like, let's go. Maybe George doesn't want to stay here all night. Maybe he has a family needs to get to.
Yeah.
I love it when she drinks his eggnog and just goes, there's no booze in that. Ew.
Yeah.
Ew. She says ooh twice, which is really fun.
Yeah, as they're getting ready to leave.
And I get it. Eggnog with booze is gross, but eggnog without booze,
it is. You're Moira.
Oh, I just did it. Yeah.
You just did it. Yeah.
It's very... Wow. It's like a reaction.
Yeah.
So now we cut to the two of them walking back and basically in sight of the motel.
Yes.
They're outside. It's nighttime. Like we said, has there ever been
David
and Patrick in the car?
Yeah. Stevie and David were outside the cafe one time at night.
Oh, okay.
They had their like dinner party, Mutt's parties. Like there've definitely been scenes.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah,
the
truck party. Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. Yeah. Never mind. All right. But it does. I think it's just the snow and everything. It looks really, really great.
Yeah.
And also the fact that you can kind of like we're just seeing them first, but you can kind of see the Christmas lights, mm-hmm. like, on their faces. You can see the reflection of that, yeah. which is really great because it is revealed that, I don't know who did this, but somebody decorated the entire exterior of the motel.
And everyone's there. There's tons of cars in the lot.
Right.
It's a full house, a full room, I guess we could say.
Yeah, it really is. And, I mean, we see some people that I don't think I've ever seen before. Or were they just Jazza gals? Like,
Jazza gals there.
Okay. I mean, I saw the Jazza gals when mm-hmm. Moira and Jocelyn are talking. But when they first walk in, mm-hmm. I saw two people, a guy and a girl that I don't think I've ever seen before. But maybe we have.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But there's decorations. They glued the tree together.
Yeah.
Took
a lot of glue to do
Everyone chipped in.
Yep.
Alexis and Ted are there.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. so very sweet. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really, really nice. I do like when Alexis pulls Johnny aside, though, to kind of, like, poop on Ted's friends just for a second, mm-hmm. where she said a lot of vet friends will be by, and they're kind of, and she puts a thumbs down. Right. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah.
And so now we get a little bit of just conversation in here, because, mm-hmm. I mean, you probably could have. I'm not saying the episode doesn't need to be 25 minutes, mm-hmm. but if you stopped it now, it's 22. And I think you could have done that. I think mm-hmm. I think you could have certainly done that. Again, we end most episodes with a joke, and this mm-hmm. is no different than that. Mm-hmm. But now we talk to Roland and we talk to Jocelyn. Roland's mm-hmm. got his baby strapped to him this party.
Yep.
And because I forgot what happened at the end, I thought for a minute, I was like, oh, isn't that nice? Jocelyn has some time at home alone without Roland or this kid to take care of.
Nope. Yeah, but Roland is upset that it was a last minute invite.
Right.
That he'd like it a week in advance. And Johnny's like, well, no, this will be a yearly thing. So consider this your invitation for next year. And then Roland's like, no, I can't plan that far in advance. Yeah, we also got a little glimpse, too, of... You know, Patrick saying to David, you're just thinking about the espresso machine right now, right?
Sure.
You know.
It's fine. Take everything back to the store. All right. Put it back in the boxes, guys. You'll be all right.
Yeah. And really, are they going to sell Christmas inventory after Christmas? Like, they would have to put it half price?
That was their last day to do that. I mean, unless they're like 50% off.
Right.
Here you go.
Yeah. Yeah, but then we see Jocelyn, and she's kind of saying to Moira, like, you know, we have to get to the senior center to...
They were supposed to be at the senior center 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, they're late. But Moira requests that maybe they could just sing one song there before they have to leave.
Right.
So the Jazza gals serenade everyone, mm-hmm. their version of Silent Night.
Yep. Stevie sheds a tear.
Which was really lovely. It was their version of Silent Night as opposed to Moira and David's. We opened with Moira and David's version, which was crazy, kind of.
Yeah.
And then we got this really lovely,
it's a very traditional kind of
version.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it fits with, it's the whole idea of what those old parties used to be.
Right.
Which was all glitz and style.
Yeah. And
no substance.
Right.
And this is more traditional.
Yes.
And it's a really, really nice way to sort of end this, but it's not.
Well,
the
Stevie
ending.
Sheds a tear just because she ran out of bread.
Right, sure.
And I know this was a huge conversation when this episode occurred in real time. You see Bob, you see Roland, Jocelyn, the Jazza gals, the whole family's there. Ted's there. Ronnie is there. There is no Ray at this party.
I didn't see Bob.
Bob's there.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Gwen obviously is there because she's a Jazza gal. You see everybody except Ray.
I don't know what Ray's doing. I'm not going
to
blame...
Everybody in the town is there. Why would Ray not be?
He's probably got some weird side hustle going
but
on Christmas Eve.
He should be there. When you even see, like, pictures of this event, like, when they're, you know, you see... pictures of it, it's really weird. It is like the entire main cast, except for Ray. People would Photoshop him in.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've never seen that.
Yeah. Yes. It was really...
Really?
Like, a lot of people, like, questioned and wondered, like, why is everybody there except him? Everyone is there, pretty much, that they have had contact with, except Ray. He's not there. It's really strange.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. No, and plus, like, he was in this episode, too. Right, exactly. You know, it's not like he wasn't available.
They're already paying him and giving him lines. Right. Like, wow. Right.
Like, they should have had it. He should have been there.
I wonder if anybody ever asked Ray about that.
I don't know.
And I know his name's not really Ray.
Yeah, what is it? Rizwan?
Yes.
Is that right?
I'm sure we're pronouncing it incorrectly.
Yeah,
but
I can't. Off the top of my head, I'm not remembering it, so I'm probably not remembering it accurately. But yeah, it's.
I did not think of that at all.
Yeah, I just remembered from it just being a big deal,
you know,
when people watch that.
In all fairness, half of the people that we're describing are Jazza gals, and they have to be there.
Right, but like they were Jazza gals. You know what I mean? Like he's an even more major character. Like. Or you think if he wasn't there, they would have made some kind of mention.
Right.
You know, some reference to the tree and had like a joke about him. But yeah, he wasn't there. I felt like he should have been.
Huh. I wonder if there is a story behind it. Like he was there for the Christmas tree thing or whatever on that day of shooting. And then he got sick or something and just couldn't be there for that. Wow. Okay. I didn't know anything about this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so quick that I didn't get a good look.
I specifically remembered hearing and everything, and I don't know that I noticed the first time I watched it, but I specifically really watched it, and I was like, no, he's not.
And like
there
I said, I didn't notice Bob was there, and like I said, I thought they were all kind of just Jazza gals, and of course Roland's there,
And I don't think he made any mention when they were getting the tree, like any mention of like. Not being able to, you know, or like, I don't think there was any, even they could have even had a mention there. So yeah, maybe something did happen that he wasn't able to be at that part of filming or whatever. But it just is really odd that all the main cast members were there except him.
That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. I had no idea.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, let's
sorry
talk about,
Ray.
Yeah. Sorry we missed him.
Yeah.
Although we didn't. We saw him in a whole scene.
Well,
a whole
race
scene.
Still.
But.
Yes.
So let's talk about how this episode ends.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the party is over and they're all sort of cleaning up.
Yep. Nobody needs to yell at the chef or jet off to an island somewhere. So they are able to all be together.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very nice because it's not even like, oh, yeah, Patrick's still there milling around along with Ted or something like that. No, it's really
it's
nice.
Really,
that it is
it's just
the immediate family there together. So they're cleaning up after the party and Johnny has bought them all presents.
He got gifts for them.
There was a rummage sale.
Yes.
And so he presents each gift to each one of them. And these gifts are amazing.
He hands Moira this basically like metal sphere.
Yeah.
That she says, as if it's a bomb.
A bomb.
Yes, which is great. Right. But he corrects her to let her know it's an antique tin for her wig pins.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Which is super cute, but it really does kind of look like a bomb.
Yep.
Like, I don't, it's a weird.
It's really, it looks like one of those, have you ever seen, I think they were popular in the 60s. They were things that were called smokeless ashtrays. And it was like a circle like that, because what you would do is you would like, I don't know, like. Flick your ashes into the top, but it was totally enclosed, and you'd put your cigarette inside it when you didn't have it in your hand. So all the smoke would, I guess, fill up in this ball.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, no. It's an antique tin.
Goofy thing. No, right, exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
I think, I gotta say, Alexis's gift is the best.
Yeah.
Her reaction to this gift is amazing.
Yeah.
How it's stickers of old men.
Right. Yeah. But they're stamps.
From around the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really
great. I mean, we know he's the worst gift giver ever. And
this exactly.
supports that idea.
I did see someone on Instagram, they put the clip of her getting these stamps.
Mm-hmm.
And the person underneath just wrote, like, this is the perfect description of exactly what stamps are.
Uh-huh. Yeah. David gets, like, a little tiny, like, pouch.
Uh-huh.
Like a little like velvety like pouch and everything. And it has money in it. There's about 1,000 yen there.
1,000 yen.
Yes.
Which I did see that somebody converted that to $12 Canadian.
Oh, nice.
Which sounds like a pretty good deal.
There you go.
I don't know how much Johnny's paying for this, but probably not $12.
Yeah. But he said it made him feel like he was back in Japan.
Yep.
Yeah.
I do like how it comes in a little pouch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a little drawstring. Like, yep. Yeah, it looks super fancy.
Yeah. So they get their presents, and the episode ends with Johnny, because he made mention of a menorah earlier in the episode when he decided to have the party. He's like, I got to go find the menorah.
Right.
And the menorah is sitting dangerously close to the garland.
And he's like, oh, we better take care of this. The last thing we would want is for the motel to burn down, to which Moira says, or is it?
Yep. Just looking off. Just hopeful, I guess.
Yeah. And of course, he kind of like turns and looks puzzled about that. And
that's how it ends.
That's how it ends.
That is how this episode ends.
Yeah.
Wow. This is so great.
So at the end of every single episode of this show, we rank the Schitt's Creek episodes from the very best of the best to the least best of the best. Yes. So, Carla, if this episode were a Christmas decoration, would it be a star on top of the tree or a Christmas gourd?
So would it be, you know, Rose Apothecary or Nana Buds?
Yeah, right.
Basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Let me bring up your rankings.
I like how there were some people that were asking, like, where can we find your rankings?
Who asked that?
I think I...
That was a terrible way to ask that question.
That was. No, somebody wrote about that, I think, on a Facebook post, or I don't remember. Somebody said somewhere about, like, where are your rankings?
Oh,
or where
then
can
maybe we should put them up somewhere.
You did have them somewhere, I thought.
I don't have all of them. In the show
notes.
Oh, my
gosh, all of them. Yeah, that
well, that's what
lot.
I mean. In the show notes, if people don't, because I listen to a lot of podcasts, I don't scroll through the show description and stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you ever wanted to, I do have each of our top tens in the show description. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and it's all up to date. So if anything ever makes it into our top 10, it knocks something out and I change that. Yeah, maybe since we're at the end of season 4, maybe I'll just put our whole rankings up on Instagram and on Facebook in case people want to take a look. It's not like we have a website or something where we can keep know, all of this information.
Nobody there. And nobody would visit that website.
Okay. I mean, all right. I'll stop making it then.
No, said we don't have a website.
No, I know we don't. No.
Nobody would visit it. I don't know. I like this episode. It's not like the best one to me. But I liked it. I don't know. It's getting hard because it feels like this is sort of an in-between kind of episode for me.
Uh-huh.
Although so much was happening, this was one of the hard episodes to take notes on because there was so many interesting lines, name drops in the beginning, funny things, things to notice. I'm sure there's 8 million things that we miss just because it's so hard to constantly like be watching the screen and trying to write. Yeah. And
in that things
first moved fast.
Flashback alone, I had a hard time just.
Yeah.
And all I was typing is like, Paul Shaver's there. I was just missing everything that was happening. Yeah.
And I'll admit too, we are not, it's rare that we like pause an episode.
Yeah.
Sometimes we do, like we'll say like, wait a second, you need to pause it because we're really trying to like get stuff down.
That's why in something like Olive Branch, strangely enough, I was thrilled that at the end, David was lip-syncing a song. It gave me time to catch up on my notes. Like, nothing else was kind of happening, so it was nice.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, I don't know how to
use... Oh, you have to use two fingers
to
scroll.
He has this very fancy laptop that I can't work.
Because
I don't know. It's fancy.
That took me... I had to look it up.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know how to scroll. I was like, why can't I scroll on this?
Oh, gosh. We should never have a technology podcast because that would be terrible.
Was this something you were considering?
No. This podcast is enough in my life. Let's be honest. We all know that.
A technology podcast.
Right. Yeah, no. That would be terrible. I am going to put this as my new, it's like, I almost feel bad now if I put something down kind of low. I feel like it's like a bad stab at the episode. And I feel bad about that. I'm going to put this down as my new... I do.
I know. I understand.
I feel bad saying something's going to be like my new 30-something
sure.
episode.
No, I get it.
You know. I'm going to put this down as my new number... Oh, that's a good one. My new number 34.
34.
I feel really bad. It's the only time they did an episode like this. I should put it higher. I'm struggling a little.
Once I type
it
in, it's locked in.
Oh my gosh, that's like a threat.
That's a threat. Okay, so
wow,
it's gonna go.
This gets intense, folks.
It's gonna go below new car.
If I'm not here next time, if there's a new lovely co-host, you will totally know why.
Well, anyway, so if this is your 34, if it's your 34, who knows if you're gonna change this. It's now below new car and above murder mystery, two from season three.
Yeah, like I'm struggling a little bit because I'm thinking, well, the flashback was really fun because that's not something you see all the time. And it was really fun to see Christmas in Schitt's Creek and snow and everything else.
Well,
I don't know.
We've talked about it before.
It's there now. I can't take it back.
It's there now. You can't take it back.
It's where it is.
And I can't take mine back because I think now this episode is our greatest disparity.
Oh, gosh.
This is my number 6 episode.
What?
I loved this. And I knew that I liked it before rewatching it. I love this episode. It's so funny.
Uh-huh.
And we get so much, like, I love seeing their past.
Yeah.
I think that, like I said, every time Stevie says something, it's amazing.
Yeah, Stevie's definitely has some good moments.
I'm not saying, you know, Ray ruined this, but I like it when everybody's together at the end of an episode.
Wow.
I thought this was really good. And again, you don't get very many Johnny episodes, and it's not like I'm just putting up there for that, but it's very interesting to see because we talk about other characters and their arcs, and other than okay, I now own this motel, I don't feel like Johnny's characters ever fleshed out the way that the others are, and we don't see much progression, so to sort of watch him kind of like break down and then become whole again,
and usually all that sentimental stuff really tugs at my heartstrings. I don't know why it just didn't as much to me in this one.
I don't know why. Yeah, I don't think it's as... I think it's like, I don't want to say superficially sentimental. That sounds so dumb. But it is just like a... It's a weird outlier too because it's a Christmas episode. And normally on TV shows and sitcoms like that, Christmas episodes don't register as being part of the whole. You know what I mean? They always feel like a different thing. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why you're not crazy about this, because it does kind of feel like a different thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyway, but I love this episode, so it's really, really high on my list.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah. So everybody, thank you again for listening. Thank you for continuing to listen.
Yeah.
Thank you for all the feedback and interaction on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you for asking about our rankings, whoever did that. And so look for that. I am going to say, if you're listening to this in real time, look for that at the end of season 4, even though we're at the end of season 4 now. You guys know what I'm talking about. But next time, if you're listening to this on Christmas Day of 2021, our next episode, we're going to go back and we're going to talk about Baby Sprinkle.
Yes.
But if you're listening to this anytime after that, we are starting season 5, Carla.
Yeah.
And we're starting with the first episode entitled The Crowning.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Wherever you're at.
Who knows? We're just talking about Schitt's Creek again next week.
Yeah.
But thank you again for listening, everybody. And until we talk to you again, have a good week or two, possibly.
And Merry Christmas if you're listening real time. And as always, warmest regards.
Silent night.